Welcome to At Home in the Kitchen, the podcast that is all about food, fun, and living life to the fullest, especially at home. I'm your host, Rhonda Carman. Today, I'm gathered at the table to gossip with my guest, James Farmer. James is a Southern-born and bred interior designer, gardener, and frequent lecturer. He is also a very prolific author. His titles include A Time to Plant, Sip and Savor, Porch Living, A Time to Cook, Dinner on the Grounds, A Time to Celebrate, and A Place to Call Home. His most recent publication, one of my very favorite books, is Arriving Home. When he's not at home tending to his garden in Perry, Georgia, you'll find him enjoying the four seasons, and that's not the hotel, all four seasons, at his mountain escape in Cashers, North Carolina. For this virtual gathering, I'll surprise James at the end of the podcast with a dinner menu I've planned just for him. For the recipes, you can visit my website, rhondacarman.com. James, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, Rhonda. I hope you are.
I'm doing well. I have to say, I never thought I'd be so excited about a vaccine, but I got my second vaccination this week, so I'm feeling
congrats. I think
optimistic.
I'm lined up for Monday, hoping. So we'll see.
Who knew we'd get so excited about these kind of things?
Right?
crazy. But I will tell you that your newest book, Arriving Home, it has been an elixir for my soul during COVID. It has been.
Thank you so much.
It's been, I feel like I have been able to just escape in every home. I could honestly visualize myself curled up with my feet on the sofa, fire going, and a glass of wine. You just are really great at creating wonderful homes. So thank you for giving me that through COVID.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for thinking of me for this podcast. I'm glad to be here. Arriving home, I feel like when things started, you know, kind of shutting down and what was the world coming to, I thought, oh, great. Let's have a book where you can't sell it at book signings and things. And, but it became such a fun opportunity for not only online, but, you know, virtual events. So, you know, you reinvent the wheel and keep going.
Absolutely. And September of 19, my last book or most recent book, Entertaining at Home, came out. And I had no idea it would take on such a new meaning, you know, being at home 24/7, but you're right.
Well,
you reinvent the wheel.
Yes. I was out in the garden this morning and I thought this time last year, I remember my garden, you know, maybe kind of heading into April, there was not a weed to be found.
Oh, I bet.
and this year I was, you know, I thought, okay, I've got 30 minutes before I need to go to the office. And I went outside and I thought, you know what? I didn't have 30 minutes to go. I had all day. I had all week. And groceries were being delivered. And anyway, so I was lucky to be home. And I have two places that I call home. So it was just providential is the only word I keep saying, that so many of us who live in smaller rural areas, this was kind of our time to shine.
Absolutely. So for those who may not be familiar with the places you call home, tell us, I think home primarily is Perry.
Yes.
Georgia. And then sometimes in Cashers. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. So my hometown is Perry, Georgia. I'm a native Parisian, Houston County.
Uh-huh.
And I live on my family's land. Got some other relatives who live on the land as well. So I built Farmdale Cottage a few years ago. I honestly thought I would have two chapters of houses. I thought I'd buy an old house downtown and then I'd build a house out on the land. But the right house downtown never came about. And Robert Norris is a dear buddy of mine.
Yes.
And we've been working on a project together. And next thing you know, Farmdale is here. And so I've been there. It took 2 years to build, but I've been living there 6 years. And then I have a place up in the mountains in Cashers, North Carolina, and my family also has a place in the same neighborhood. So We're just kind of this traveling group that goes,
I love it.
You know,
y'all must like each other. That's a good thing.
We kind of do. So anyways, but I love going to Cashers, especially because it gives me seasons that Perry doesn't have.
Yes.
And, you know, we have hot and not hot.
That sounds about like Texas. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
Hot and hotter.
Yes, exactly. But in North Carolina, that in particular, that part, it's the mountains, and so it's cool. I mean, we've, you know, shot fireworks on July 4th and then built a fire afterwards. You know, it's so yummy, wonderful. A lot of people think it's, you know, it's kind of like Jackson Hole, and it has that Montana feel because you have four distinct seasons, and each one is about, you know, 3 months.
Yeah, we do the same thing here. We do fireworks and then do a fire, but we crank the AC down to 55 degrees. So, I have not ever been to Cashers. I know a little bit about it because my stepson, his mother, and her husband recently purchased a house there as their second home, and he cannot say enough good things about it. And he loves to escape Houston and get up there where he always says four seasons and it's cold and it's just beautiful and the mountains. And so I feel like I need to see it one of these days because he just
you're welcome anytime. And there's a lot of Houston folks up there. So I love to talk about Cashers, but I'm a little hesitant to keep talking about Cashers because it's I wanted to remain this little hamlet.
Exactly.
At the same time, I love having new friends.
You might have a lot of neighbors. So tell us, describe your house there in Perry. I know for those listening, you do a little bit of everything, but you actually have a degree in both horticulture, or is it a landscape architecture, and also interior design?
Yes. So, so my accreditations are in landscape design and interior design. And, I went to Auburn University. So through the horticulture program is how I was, licensed and accredited to become a landscape designer and the associations therein. And then I also majored in art history, which that program led to the interior side of things. I love both. I can't decipher between the two. To me, garden design and interior design, they're both just forms of design. Mm-hmm. So currently, and really, here on out, I have this great group of amazing women that work with me, and everyone's interiors trained and focused. So that really is our focus. So garden design, I get to be my own guinea pig. Mm-hmm. Clients that we've helped in the past, here and there. But my favorite thing, and it kind of cracks me up because it goes back to my roots. When I was about 11 or 12, I started a company called Leaf It To Me. And I would do pots and, put two ferns and two pots at the top of the stairs and then geraniums and pots coming down the stairs. And then my mother's, friend would say, well, I want that, but I want pink geraniums. And I would make it for her. And then the neighbor would say, well, I want that, but I want white begonias. And I did that for her. And then next thing you know, I've done the whole neighborhood.
I love it.
I just kept it up through high school, but doing pots and containers. So we do that still for our clients where, we've done the whole house, but they need containers around the pool or benches or, those accoutrement,
Exactly.
You find a faux bois stag. And you think, I know who needs this in their yard.
That's so funny, but it's so true. I love that you're a young entrepreneur. So I've read most of your books, and I know that you've done a couple cookbooks, and you clearly love to cook. I'm working on my first cookbook right now. I am.
Congrats.
Thank you. Completely self-taught. Are you trained? Self-taught?
No, totally self-taught.
Yeah.
Well, trained, yes, and trained by my grandmother.
Well, that's the best kind of training.
It really is. And then my family is so fortunate because my grandmother, anyone who's ever heard me, give a talk or lecture, I always quote this, but Mimi taught us to eat with our eyes first.
That's so,
so it's not that each meal was so fancy with all the china, crystal, and silver. It was so real because of the china, crystal, and silver. It was her mother's silver, it was her aunt's goblets, it was maybe her napkins she got when she was got married, or it was what she would call the generations at the table. And it wasn't because there was any air that she was putting on, right. that's what she had. She had right. she had her Aunt Mamie's china. So we used Aunt Mamie's china at Easter or whatever it was.
Yes.
So Mimi really instilled that in me, which gave me that opportunity in the kitchen to, you know, I'm polishing a fork and she would say, oh, that was Irene's. And I get to hear about Irene, you know, I get to hear about these stories. And, but the most important thing that she taught me was we feed people body and soul when they're at our tables. So it doesn't matter if you're serving a peanut butter and jelly or, you know, beef Wellington with most beautiful blanched asparagus right from the garden. It's what you're serving and soulfully. And the South in particular has a wonderful hallmark on that.
That's true.
You know, it's called soul food for a reason.
Exactly. So I love
we
that.
We eat with our eyes first and we feed people body and soul. So I learned so much of that from Mimi, from my grandmother. And this is another fun thing she taught me was, you know, when you're setting the table, knife and spoon go on the right. Right has, you know, five letters. And so R-I-G-H-T, and that's on your right hand, and knife and spoon also have five letters like right. And then fork has four letters like left. And I got to college and realized my generation didn't know how to set a table. They didn't know, let alone fried chicken.
Yeah,
they didn't know how to grow a tomato or grow zinnias. And so that really is where the inspiration for the books came from was, okay, well, maybe I can be a voice for my generation and, you know, and kind of educate and inspire and entertain, but it all goes back to my grandmother for sure.
I love that. Well, one trick I was taught when I was young is if you take your, like, make the okay with your hands, your right and your left, and then you have that on your left-hand side, a D. Mm-hmm. Or B, and then on the right hand,
yeah.
That's how you know where your bread and your drink goes. And I still do my little, you know, just to make sure.
But, Rhonda, I'm doing that right now, and I'm going to use that in my next table setting.
You go, your bread and your drink, your D and your B. So makes
Love
it very
that.
Easy. But you know what? I've said this so many times, and you use the word, you know, air or pretense. I don't think there is anything wrong or to be apologetic about beauty. And beauty doesn't have to be, you know, expense, and it doesn't have to be pomp, and it doesn't have to be circumstance, but just little touches, it makes all the difference. And sometimes it's such a small touch. And you said that, I loved what you said about your grandmother, about feeding the, you know, the body and the soul. And I'm curious, sort of during this last year of lockdown, what have you kind of done to feed your own body and soul for meals, cooking?
Well, you hit on a high note for sure. So I always say that Southern design and what we try to convey to our clients is very unapologetic. So it's rather than saying, oh, I'm sorry, this is an old piece that was my mother's or my grandmother's, you mix it with something you found at a flea market, mixed with a new piece of contemporary art. And you say sorry when you do something wrong, you know, and so you don't need to be apologetic about it. And I think it's what you just said about, you know, not being apologetic about beauty is spot on. But in particular, during lockdown and quarantine, for me, we had a true spring of 2020 in my neck of the woods. And normally we have, you know, 3 weeks of a pollen cyclone, and it goes from 40 degrees to 80 degrees, and everyone gets hay fever. And then it's May and it's 100 degrees. But we had this delightful spring, which I felt like was such a gift. And I had time in the garden where I could sit and enjoy. I watched the foxgloves change from peach to coral to pink to white, just how they just faded and watched the light through them. But that true gift that fed me through the whole time was time. And it was not structured every day. And you know, I'm fine to do this. I've got this and this. And, you know, getting back into that as we're slowly, you know, coming back out of things. I mean, Rhonda immediately asked, my chest starts getting tight thinking, you know what, there's some good things from here that we're going to take with us. And I think the power of being able to breathe, appreciate time, not abuse it, but use it in this way that benefits us. And that continually came back to me. Now, because I'm such an emotional eater,
Oh yeah.
I have my COVID-15.
I think I'm double that. So yeah, I'd lost all this weight going into it. And then I rediscovered my joy of cooking, and I'm going to have to rein it in now. I'm with you, but I'm an emotional eater too. I get it. I totally get it.
Well, I think the worst part is that the grocery store will now deliver to, you know, we're a small town, but we're not the sticks by any means, but we're fortunate that we have nice grocery stores and they will deliver. Well, I'm telling you, I love strawberry pretzel salad. It's one of my favorite things
because I've never heard of that.
It's that sweet, salty pretzel crust. It's got a whipped cream cheese layer and it has strawberries and strawberry gelatin on top. It's what every church lady has made at every covered dish.
Yes.
At every, you know, Baptist function. And I just started craving it because the strawberries started coming in right about the time we went on lockdown. And so I thought, well, I'll make one. Well, my aunt, who also lives, you know, there on the land too, she decided she'd make one. And so I was just eating. It's sugar and fat. That's all it is. You know, there's no.
There's some salt in there too.
With salt on top of it. But I crave comfort food, you know, and I think it's more difficult to cook for one person than it is for 20.
Absolutely.
And so you would cook this and it's, well, no one's coming over to eat it. And I
can't go to waste
that whole pan.
I know you can't waste, not want not. So exactly. I'll tell you a fun story. You mentioned Southern Baptist. So I'll tell you a fun fact that I've read, and you can tell me if it's true. You said that your grandfather was a Southern Baptist minister.
He was, yes.
So my grandfather was as well.
Really?
Even though I did not meet him, he actually, sadly, he passed away preaching. But I've always said, I guess if you're going to go, that's the place to go.
The place and way.
And I'm now Episcopalian, which I read you're also now Episcopalian.
I am. Well, my priest told me that, you know, recovering Baptists make the best Episcopalians.
And why is that, did he say?
Well, he said because we grew up with, you know, these deep scriptural like memorization of verses, and
yes.
So and we bring good music to the church. The Episcopal church is fabulous music too, but we bring a little bit of that, you know, that Southern soul. But what my grandfather would always say, granddaddy or big nap, NAPP. So I have a nephew who's little nap, mm-hmm. but my grandfather passed away actually a couple years ago. But he said I'm Southern by birth, but I'm a Baptist, you know, in his culture, because there are Baptists, there are conventions, there's so many denominational enclaves. But my grandfather was very much an older school Baptist that was much more moderate, much, you know, we said and sang the doxology. We had, mm-hmm. wonderful, women who had wonderful roles in the church. It was a big part to my grandmother because, she would say wonderful things to my grandfather. Like he would say, well, I'm a model preacher. And she would say, have you looked up the word model? It means a small imitation of the real thing.
Oh, and there you go.
And so she would keep him in his place, but it was such a wonderful church because it was not a thou shalt not.
Right.
It was a church of love. It was a church of so much equality too. You know, I guess I was raised by strong feminists with my mother and my grandmother, but you know, it was foreign to me that a woman couldn't do something in the church because the church said so. I thought, ooh, I wouldn't dare tell some of those ladies
don't
in my
tell,
church.
Yeah, don't tell them that. Yeah. Well, I think when you talked about the strawberry pretzel salad, which I've never had, but I've had similar because, you know, and you were talking about comfort food, even though I'm not in the Southern Baptist Church now, some of my fondest memories were those fellowship suppers or those, you know, picnics. And, you know, I'd probably, I wouldn't, but, you know, I'd probably be like, oh yeah, that, you know, but I still crave casseroles. I'm not going to lie, you know, and that was some
doesn't?
Of my fondest memories, honestly, of food.
Who doesn't? Well, that's
and there
the
would be a table
of
100 things to eat. I mean, what kid doesn't love 100 options of Jell-O and, you know,
all the best. One of the titles of one of my cookbooks is Dinner on the Grounds. And that's what we would have is a dinner on the grounds. So I just think the reason why I wrote cookbooks, to be honest, was a selfish vendetta, is because I could tell stories. I love to cook. I'm not a chef. I'm not classically trained. I grew up cooking and I love food. So there's my reason to write a cookbook. But the caveat of it is, well, if I said, Rhonda, what's your favorite pound cake? And you say, well, when mama made it. Well, now I know your mama. And now I know, you know, and, yeah. and I love how Southerners, in particular, there's a story with every recipe.
Yes.
And that gets translated into our homes and interiors as well.
Yes. And my mother, if she listens to this, she'll probably say, Rhonda, I can't believe you are going to say this, but you know, she always made this thing called the preacher's favorite, and she still to this day makes it. I have to be honest, I love a lot of her food, but I still can't eat the preacher's favorite. And I don't even know what went. I think it was Jell-O and whipped cream and that canned fruit and almonds and, you know, it was everything. It was just,
I know.
But, and a kid, I mean, I probably just because it would be too much sugar in this day for me to eat it. But, and the other funny thing about, and I don't know about you, but my mother always, and there is something about, and I'd say this because I only know this part of the world, but maybe everyone does, but there was something so wonderful about every Sunday coming home to a roast in the oven and roasted carrots and tea and mashed potatoes
yes,
and a homemade yes. butterscotch pie. Although there were times, and the preacher would always joke, I'm going to let you go a few minutes early so you can beat the Methodist to the cafeteria.
Yeah,
and
I'd
always say, how come we don't get to go to the cafeteria? And my parents would say, we have better food at home. And at eight, you're like, well, I'd just like to see. I'd love to know, was the cafeteria better or not? But I'm so glad
this,
now.
This land of wonders. No, exactly. My grandfather would say the same thing in the benediction, but you know that they were saying that at the Methodist Church and Presbyterian Church as well. So.
Yeah, I used to always wonder that myself. So your grandmother, one thing I did read, and I don't know if it's the same grandmother you said, Mimi, is it true that your grandmother sent you to college with a cast iron skillet?
She did. She
sure the same
did.
Grandmother?
My Mimi. Yes.
Okay.
Grandmother means Mimi. She is my maternal grandmother. My paternal grandparents, I didn't know. But my Mimi was so keen on saying, okay, you know what you can't go eat pizza and wings and, you know, barbecue and chicken fingers. You know, we didn't eat that as much growing up. You know, we fast food and driving through, it wasn't a big thing for us. And when we traveled, we loved going to restaurants, but we ate at home so much. And right. So a cast iron skillet, you can fry, you can bake, you can roast, you can toast, you can do everything in it. And so I started cooking for myself in the dorm kitchen. And Rhonda, you make a lot of friends when you know how to cook.
I was just going to say, I bet everyone really wanted, I was going to say, that is a good way to make friends. Maybe she knew she was onto something else too.
She was. So I think that's one of the best gifts I was ever given was a seasoned cast iron skillet to take to college.
That's awesome. So I am just started this podcast. So thank you for being one of my first guests.
Absolutely. And our sweet friends are the ones who got us, you know, paired together.
Yes. Let's just say we love Allie and Michael. So they are the best.
The Causeys are great folks. Love them.
They are. So the one thing I have missed the most during COVID is entertaining friends and family so much. I love planning menus. I actually love reading cookbooks. I will read them like novels.
That's the opening line of my cookbook. I can read a cookbook like a novel.
Okay. Well, I think we might be long lost relatives.
We may be.
So what I've decided I'm going to do for each of my guests is I've planned a virtual menu. So if you were here for dinner, this is what I would serve you. And then I'm going to put all the recipes on my website. So I was thinking, okay, what would be a kind of a Southern and Gulf Coast where I am menu that would be really good? So I think since we're still in an R month, I would do Gulf Coast oysters with lots of lemon and, of course, champagne. And then I have really gotten into recently fried soft shell crab.
Oh, yum.
With a lemon butter sauce. I'm kind of into lemon right now, too.
I was going to say lemon. You're hitting. I love lemon and savory together.
Good, because I got a couple more lemon. And then on the side, I do a baby green salad with a jalapeno buttermilk dressing.
Yeah, the warm heat, the cream.
Yes.
Oh, I love that.
And then a scotch bonnet cast iron skillet cornbread in honor of your grandmother.
Perfect.
And then a lemon icebox pie.
I think that sounds wonderful. I think the lemon pie, it goes so good with the seafood, but also with lemon. Yeah, I'm hoping there's a Mile High of whipped cream or, you know, on top of the icebox pie.
Anything you want. especially you. Virtually. We'll put as much as you want on there. I have not had a lemon icebox pie in ages. I started thinking about them the other day. I think I'm going to have to make one before I go on the serious diet here.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll give you some advice with it. Okay. It's what my mother always said, double the crust.
Oh, yeah. Double the crust and I'll double the cream for you.
Thank you. So Mama, that was her expression about things. You know, if we, you know, passed a beautiful house, she would say, oh, they doubled the crust on that one. And, but there's something, I mean, the crust, everyone loves the crust, and people who don't like the crust, I want to sit next to them so I can eat theirs.
Yeah. Don't be so skimpy.
That sounds yummy and wonderful and making me hungry. I had a wonderful lunch today. It was just chicken salad, but I need all the things you mentioned.
Well, maybe one of these days we can have a meal together.
I would love that.
Thank you so much for being my guest. I appreciate it. And I love your books and can't wait to see more.
Well, I'm thrilled that you thought of me, and this has been so fun to talk.
Absolutely. Take care and have a wonderful weekend. A special thanks to James for being my guest today, and thank you all for being here. If you'd like to learn more about his books or the recipes I shared today, you can visit my website, rhondacarman.com. Until next time, keep cooking.